Okay. So like we just start talking and then we do a very awkward introduction and then we go from there.
Fuck.
It seems to work, to be honest. Okay. Gets rid of the awkwardness. Since you're already talking. So
yeah, so it's we'll not okay. Hi guys. Okay, but for real though. Hi guys.
Hi guys.
This episode is gonna be in English because we have a very very
special guest.
Bro, I just don't know Estonian, that's all.
Oh, okay. No, that's
we have an immigrant.
High profile guest when it comes to the sneaker game of Estonia, if I may say so. Would you like me to go on and do an introduction?
Or would you like to introduce yourself,
yeah,
perhaps?
I think that's the...
Sure. Well, I am the owner of the page on Instagram called Hypebeast Baltics. And I do reselling as a side hustle, let's say, or as a hobby.
Side hustle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, so far so good.
How did streetwear or sneakers in general, how did you get into the, let's just call it the game, I think.
Oh, I started a long time ago, I think like 2017 to 2016-ish. And obviously the whole sneaker culture is much influenced by the US. And that's how I found out about it. Like when you go to YouTube.
Social media.
Yeah. When you go to YouTube or Instagram, just type in like cool shoes and stuff. And like, that's what you look for when you're like 17, 16, right? So I did that. I found the classical Jordan 1s.
Okay.
And yeah, that was the shoe that I first fell in love with.
Just for reference, this is what cool shoes comes up on Google.
Yeah.
At the moment.
And you can see Jordan 1s, right? There's literally two pictures of Jordan 1s.
Okay, these and these.
Even three.
Oh, even Gators. Four, actually.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I got into it. And at first I was just buying for myself, but then I sort of realized, yo, I was overbuying a lot. So I started selling them as well and just sort of started from there.
Okay, but you said overbuy. What's overbuy in like your perspective?
Oh, well, when...
How much is a lot?
Well, let's just say 10 pairs of same looking shoes and they just sort of stand there with no love, right?
Okay.
So why would you need so many shoes for yourself that has the similar color, has the similar style, same brand? Why would you need that?
Okay.
And at one point I sort of thought about that and I was like skeptical in my financial decisions, you know, like I don't have that much money.
Been there.
So yeah. Just started selling them.
Okay, but at that point, did you collect Jordans, Nikes, or just whatever you could get your hands on or whatever you liked at the time? Was it like...
whatever I liked at the time. Yeah. I mean, the first pair of proper shoes that I've got was a pair of Ultra Boosts.
Yeah.
Like the proper sneakers.
1.0s, 2.0s.
Yeah, 1.0, the core blacks. Because I couldn't get the OGs.
Okay. Yeah.
And I remember they were sitting in Sportland for like 50% off. And I don't know, at the time it was so nice. It was the best feeling shoe at the time.
Yeah, at the time it was. It's
kind of... I think it's still up there.
It's up there, but like the feeling has changed. Like first time when I put on a pair of Ultra Boost, I was like mesmerized. Mm-hmm. I couldn't... the feeling was just something else. Especially
yes.
When I've been wearing Air Force Ones and like Roshi runs before the Ultra Boost.
So don't even talk about the Roshi ones, bro.
But yeah, the Ultra Boost is a classic and it will go down in the history books as one of the most comfiest shoes of all time. Okay, so Ultra Boost 1.0s. I still have a pair of 1.0s in the core black colorway with the white midsole.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I have the same pair.
It's not white anymore.
It's yellowish. Okay. But what was the... Now you mostly focus on Jordans and hype stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, but what's the... I'm guessing the first, like, resellable shoe you had is a Jordan.
When did the change happen? Yeah, when did you... selling your own stock to, like, buying stuff to sell? When did you, like, notice that, oh, this could be a thing?
Yeah, I could make money off this.
That's a good question because it was a long time ago. And maybe when we had shoes that were resellable, like noticeably resellable, like Jordan 1s, in stores, just sitting at a discounted rate. At that point, I realized, yo, I was kind of early in the game, sort of.
Yeah, I can still remember the pain you caused me. Well, you didn't, but when the Bread Toes released in Sportland.
Yeah.
Millennium is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Or an acquaintance. I lended him 200 euros so he could buy Bread Toes from Sportland. But when he got to La Mista, you had already bought basically most of the pairs and he had to buy off of you. And that was like 2017, 16?
Yeah, 2017-ish, yeah.
17-ish, yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember seeing that pair of shoe just in stock for like a big discount. So obviously.
The Bread Toes?
Yes.
No, I think those were an official-ish release, even in Sportland. I think they...
No, they were not. They were not. They were just sitting like a pair of regular shoes.
Yeah, they were sitting. I know. I had the opportunity to buy them, and my colleague bought them, and I was looking at them like, nah, this high top ain't me.
And to be fair, and I want to say this, at the time, Jordan 1s were not so popular.
Yeah, the resale was like 250 at tops. Yeah. It wasn't something crazy. It's what, 600 now?
Like, yeah, you cannot compare the resale that they have right now from, let's say, 3 years ago, right? Because it also includes the value that the time holds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, but I'm guessing the Bread Toes weren't your first, like, big resellable shoe. What was the, like, the first release that you ever bought with a purpose to resell?
Like I don't think I can remember exactly, and but what I can say is what comes to my mind right now. Okay, it's Rare the Drop when they released the Human Races.
Which ones? Is the black and purple or the canvas ones?
No, the black and purple ones. The
Holy Pack.
Yeah,
Holy Pack.
I think so.
Yeah, I was there with you. I saw you there.
Really?
Yeah, and there was a guy with Supreme Timberlands too. I don't know if you remember the black pair with eagles on him. Yeah,
there were a lot of people. There was also the guy who pulled up in a car, and waiting in the queue.
Like, what? I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was crazy. And so that drop, I think I got like three pairs or something, and my friends also got a few pairs, and we decided to take a picture, which was sort of a mistake because at the time, reselling wasn't really a big thing, right?
Yeah.
I took a picture with all those shoes, and it was looking like, I think, six pair-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And like as soon as I posted it, Red DM'd me saying like, yo, what's going on?
Really?
Yeah. Like, are you a reseller? And at the time, I was panicking. I was like, yo, no, I'm not a reseller. No, just for my friends and family, you know, I'm just a collector. So, but yeah, that was one of the first experiences.
Okay, I distinctly remember that drop because the blank canvas pairs dropped like a month or a few weeks before the Holy Pack. And I bought myself... Okay, that actually can't be true. It's because right now it seems like I made my first resell before you did. And I resold the blank canvas Pharrell NMDs. I bought from Red for like 250, I think retail was. And then I went back to the next drop when the Holy Pack released to buy a pair for my friend. And then when the I gave the guy in front of the door my ticket, he looked at me and he said like, hey, I remember you from Sneaker Hamlet, that we see everything, we have eyes everywhere, something like that, that you better watch it and you better not resell the shoes. And I was panicking.
Really?
I was like shitting my pants, actually. I was like, okay, what's going on? Mom, come get me.
But you know, the real question is the stigma around the resellers, right? Like,
yeah,
why would certain people hate reselling culture so much? For me, for example, is a hard question to answer. But I just know that for some stores or for some people, it's there.
In my personal opinion, it's envy.
You think so?
I think it's quite Estonian to see other people make easy money and like get jealous.
No, you know what? I wouldn't say it's quite Estonian, right? Because all around the countries, like the same thing happens. It's not just an Estonian thing.
No, I get that, but like especially Estonians, in my opinion, at least, like what
For me personally, it's like kind of like working against the community thing or the culture thing. So if you get like a pair that can resell for, I don't know, 20, 30 euros, and a lot of the youngsters come and just buy them out, there's no chance for people who actually want to wear them. And they usually won't buy it for resale either. So, but it's like a 50-50 thing, because without resale, the culture wouldn't be that big either. So.
Yeah, good point.
But coming back to the Red thing for a second, the attitude they had is at the start when resellers started appearing in Estonia. And just a side note, I think the reason why Red employees hated resellers so much back in the day was because that's when Estonia or the Baltics in general started getting like actual releases.
Yeah,
like the NMDs, the Pharrell NMDs in Estonia, back when Yeezy was booming.
Yeah,
I think like they didn't want to see pairs go outside of the country for resale, just because like we just started getting actual shoes,
you know,
hyped shoes.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point because
yeah, we what was the Wetherspoons too,
and before
those
that
were
the Atmos Air Max ones, Elephant
I couldn't Prince. Believe yeah. I couldn't believe that Estonia at the time got Sean Wetherspoons.
Let's just say that,
but
was
Wetherspoons were later on, like the Atmos Air Max ones was the first ones, I think,
one of the first shoes. Ones one of the first ones, yeah, for sure. But Sean Wetherspoons, those were kind of let's just say not a mistake, but
A lucky accident.
A very lucky accident that we Estonia even got those.
So you're saying?
It's not meant for us.
Yeah. It's not meant for our market, because our market is so small.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking at the time. Like, why would a country with barely any releases in general, even like the GR releases, all of a sudden get such a grail shoe?
When did you realize that, I'm starting to move, I would say a lot of shoes or products started moving, and then when did you, like, create your, let's call it an image of Hypebeast Baltics, or when did you create the page, or when did you come up with the idea of Hypebeast Baltics? Or
your brand.
Yeah.
So, it's actually a funny story, because I never created Hypebeast Baltics. I actually saw a guy who started this page, yeah? And he was just listing stuff on sale. And at the time I had my personal stuff that I wanted to list. And this person just told me like, yeah, you can list the things for free, like no problem. And later on I talked to him, like he just gave me the password. He said like, you can just do it yourself. Like you can list it. Right. And I talked to him later, like, are you into the whole selling the shoes on Instagram thing? Are you trying to develop it? Because I see potential in it. And he was like, no, I don't have time for this. So he agreed to give the account to me. So that's how it started originally in 2017.
Is he Estonian or Latvian or Lithuanian? Or
he's Russian, but okay. he lives in Estonia.
Okay.
So, but at the time the page was super small. I think it was like 100, 200-ish followers. So he was just starting it as well.
And the whole thing was super small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back then. It's funny to say back then, three years ago.
Okay, but when did your page start
getting attention
and growing to as big as it is today?
Or do you remember making any moves to grow it?
Yes, for sure. The biggest moves that I made were the giveaways, because I was experimenting a lot with the giveaways. Like, for example, I tried collaborations with different, influencers.
Okay.
I tried collaborations with local resellers. I tried different pictures, formats, and even things that I would give away. And eventually, after like 5 to 7 tries, I finally got that sort of success I was hoping for.
Mm.
And there was this one giveaway that did well, especially. And that was the Yeezy giveaway that I did this summer.
This summer?
Yes.
Oh, so in August giveaway. When you had like a plethora of Yeezys and then
yeah.
the winner got, okay.
Yeah, that
makes
one.
Sense, yeah.
To have a successful giveaway, you must have options. So like everyone have the chance to like something. Cause if you have just like one colorway
or something, like one pair.
You can't like get all of the people to like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite common sense, right? If there's a lot of options, and obviously there's going to be more people liking because just the percentages, right?
Yeah.
And especially I tried when I was getting those Yeezys, I was trying to get them in as many sizes as possible. I think the size run was like 8 to 10 sizes, like a lot of sizes to choose from.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that was a part of the reason why it got so popular.
Okay. But how many followers did you gain from that specific giveaway? Approximately.
Over 1,000 for sure, maybe 2. But yeah, I think it was around 2,000.
Okay, how long did the giveaway last? Like a week? 2 weeks?
I can check.
It was a long one, I think.
I can check, but it was like 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your like long-term plans with Hypebeast Baltics and reselling in general? Like, where are you headed? Are you even headed anywhere? Are you going to stop anytime soon?
Long-term plans. It all depends whether I can stay in Estonia for, let's say, the next half years and what I will be doing, because I'm in the third year of university and I study not in Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
And if I come back, then I would do military service.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. I mean, I don't have any health problems, right? So they would force me to do the military service.
Looking at your unhealthy sneaker addiction, you could get away with that.
I mean, I would need a lot of approvals for that. But the point is, if that goes, as I said, then it would heavily affect on the way my page develops. If that goes into effect, for example, I would focus more on marketing, let's say commercials, let's say expanding the follower numbers and consigning, like selling stuff for other people. But if I manage to stay in Estonia, like, I mean, if I manage to have more time managing the page and getting shoes myself, then I would focus on personal selling, which is what I'm planning right now.
Okay. But how many, I don't know, shoes or items per month would you say you like usually move? Including everything, like even the where you're the middleman, like.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a number. Trying to think of a number.
A very rough estimate, like
yeah.
100, 200, three.
No, I don't think it's 200. It's less than that. Like, it might seem that I move a lot of things, but it's not actually all that clear and good, because some things I just do a middleman, like I just connect two people, right? Essentially, and I just sort of monitor what's going on, like whether the guy's trying to scam, whether the payment went through and all that. And I don't think that's counting as a transaction that I have, right?
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
But for example, today I sold 3 pairs. Yesterday I sold 5 pairs. So.
It adds up.
Yeah, it definitely does.
150.
I don't think so. 140? You know what? I never counted. Like, I never counted. I have a
spreadsheet.
Of obviously the stock, the things that I move, and the date when I move it, but I never counted like monthly.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to even say an estimate. Like, I can say for the past few days, for example, right?
Okay, but let's put it this way. How many pairs or items have you moved in total? I'm guessing you have a rough estimate of that since you keep a spreadsheet.
I'm being honest. I never counted like how many pairs I moved at all. Never. I just have it because I want to know how much money I'm making.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
It's more of a like a
accounting thing.
Yeah. Yeah. An accounting thing.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you consider a sale? Do you consider middlemaning sale a sale?
He just said that he doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's a sale because I'm not directly involved, right? I don't have the shoe that I'm selling.
Mm-hmm. When did you start middlemaning? Do you think that could be a viable thing to do?
Yes, because in order to be a middleman, you have to have some sort of ground. You have to have a reputation, right?
References,
yeah, in my case.
Yeah.
But in terms of reputation, it could be built by the time that you're involved in the thing and the let's say the exposure that you have, like how famous you are, let's say, like how trustable of a guy you are. So if you have never had any problems, then it shows, like people know that you're a trustable guy. So that's how I think it could be a viable thing in the future.
Of course. Do you work with other resellers? Since you have the biggest following here.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a list of things for other resellers as well. So sort of like an online consignment, if you get what I'm saying. It basically means that I will have a spreadsheet of not only my items, but also people that I know that are trustable.
Mm-hmm.
So people would look at the spreadsheet, and if they find something interesting, they would hit me up and I would hit my friends up about it.
Okay. Makes sense.
So you have a lot of connections.
You could say so, yeah.
How do you acquire them?
With time, really. Like whenever you make a sale, you sort of have a new person that sold you the shoe or bought the shoe from you, and with time they would start buying more shoes. For example, I have a customer who has bought over 5 pairs of Yeezys from me. Like one single customer that returns to me from time to time throughout the time of 2 years, he would buy a lot of shoes from me. Okay. And I think that goes for like a lot of reputable sellers as well. Let's say Big Boy Market, right? Like he has crazy customers that would
who are willing to pay top dollar for Jordan 1 mids, apparently, as he told us.
Or not even Jordan 1 mids, just like any exclusive shoe that they cannot get from just walk into a store, right? Because that's the whole point of having a platform like this.
But when we shot the podcast with him, he kind of told us that the market in Finland in general is kind of dry, and that they don't get any Jordan 1s. They don't get any Jordan like retros basically at all. They have this what was the store called? Like Foot something.
Yeah, some basketball shop.
Some like, yeah, semi basketball shop that gets like Jordan 4s from time to time, or used to get Jordan 4s. And they mostly get SB Dunks and like a few Jordan 1 mm-hmm. mids here and there. And so that's where he comes to play. He can supply pairs from Estonia to Finnish people. Like that's his kind of advantage, that the overall market is just kind of underwhelmed.
Yes, exactly. Like in order to be successful, you sort of have to find a niche, right? Like in his case, he just found the gap between demand and supply, right? Like people in Finland, they don't, if it's true, they don't get the releases while he has the opportunity to get them for them, right? So I think he's doing smart things.
Yeah, he's,
and big things.
Yeah, he's, yeah. Yeah. The giveaway really he's having things. At the moment.
Oh,
too.
Yes, like the giveaway.
70, 80K the chick has, something like that.
I mean, it's crazy how successful and how smart he is in terms of marketing. Like,
yeah.
The results he achieves is so amazing. Like, I'm honestly jealous, because at one time we're at the same level. And right now, if you look at the following count, like, because we're only comparing following counts at the moment, right? Like he's, I think he has like 12,000.
13-ish.
Okay, 13-ish.
And that was like last week or,
yeah.
13-ish plus the giveaway. And he told us that he's going to get 20K, or he projects that he's going to get 20K for like April, I think, or like.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of spring somewhere like around there.
How crazy is that? Yeah, 20k followers for selling shoes on Instagram.
Kinda mad, yeah.
Yeah, but also you're at a disadvantage compared to him, because he's like moving in a much bigger market.
More people, more money.
I mean,
bigger wages.
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that with him growing, I might be affected in some way, but as I said, you always just have to find the niche, right? And for me, Finnish market is not my target market, so it wouldn't directly affect me.
Okay, but what's the niche in Estonia or in our market?
For you,
for yeah.
Me, well, I got lucky in the sense of starting really early.
Yeah.
And the niche for me was limited shoes. Right, because nobody at the time was doing limited shoes as resale, like as a platform. So that's how I got into it.
Okay, so basically timing. You
timing.
Your
yes.
Timing was good.
Yeah.
Perfect, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Timing.
So about timing, what do you think? How has the local reselling market changed during these last couple of years?
I can say that even with the last year, it has developed drastically. Like you have seen the boom of resellers, local resellers, and I'm not talking about Estonia only, right? Because I'm Baltics focused. Like I know there's a group of, like there's an Instagram chat in Latvia that is just full of Latvian resellers. And just that fact alone, that there's, let's say, 20, 30 people in that group, and while on a popular release, you would only get one size run, let's say 10 pairs. It's crazy to me how things have evolved in such a way, right?
Okay, it's a good thing and a bad thing. The good part is that the culture is growing, the shoe game in general is growing,
mm-hmm.
People are like getting interested, but the bad thing is the resellers who start right now have kind of mistimed, so to say. Let's say we have a release, 90% of the pairs go to resellers, all different resellers, everyone, like, I don't know, 20 resellers all get one pair, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And they all start to like sell at the same time, because most of them are young kids who don't have the resources to do like long holds,
yeah,
for instance. And then they start undercutting, and like market value drops because of undercutting and because of all the like resellers who are trying to get their money back or make like 5, 10, 20 euros off like
yeah,
a semi-limited pair. And it's like kind of... okay, it's good in a sense, but like of my point of view, I don't like appreciate it that much because I like to know that the shoes I buy have value in a sense that I'm not just spending my money and then like after a year or so wear or 2 years or whatever, I'm just gonna throw the pair away. It's like nice to know that once you're done with the pair, you can always move it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point because that's the thing with hype shoes, right? Like whenever I buy an expensive pair of shoes, I know I can wear it, like, and I wouldn't feel bad about it
because you can make your money back.
Yeah, you can always just sell it, and if not for the same price, right? Because the shoe, as I said before, holds value in time and it just grows up in dead stock, and you just sell the used pair for the used price.
Yeah.
Can you say how big is your stock at the moment? Like approximately?
Oh. Huh. Yeah.
That includes clothing as well and like...
No, just shoes.
Just shoes.
Yeah.
Where do you keep a shoes?
I mean...
Do you have a storage locker or it's all just piled up in your room or your parents' house or...
I have shelves.
Shelves?
Yeah, I just put in shelves.
That's a lot of fucking shelves.
Not really. You know, the ones that factories use, like the supply shelves.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not just regular shelves, right?
Yeah,
like
a
bookshelf.
Okay.
Are you not afraid of like big re-releases and the prices decreasing over time? If the hype bubble gets too big, like it's going to pop at one point.
I think that mostly applies to Yeezys because I don't see Jordan 1s going down in price anytime soon. Plus...
I do. Because you have to look at the big picture, right? Like Jordan 1s have been popular for a while now.
Jordan 1s have been popular since 1985, to be exact. But
yeah,
my theory is...
At the time, it wasn't as popular.
It was as popular. Have you seen Michael Jordan's documentary?
No.
Watch it, then you'll understand how big it actually was. The Spike Lee, Michael Jordan made commercials. It's the shoes. It was the shoes.
You're talking about the Jordan 1s.
I'm talking about all the Jordans, 11.
No, I'm talking about the Jordan 1s.
Just the 1s?
Yes, just the
1s.
Okay,
but my... Okay.
I think you're both talking about different things. Like one is like the image the shoe carries and the other thing is like...
It's the history.
How many people wear it? Like how affordable it is, how many they produce. Like, yeah, you can always have a Lamborghini, but like not a million people can buy it.
No, I'm just talking about the popularity of the shoe.
You think it's going to drop?
Yes, because right now it's popular because of the hype, the whole marketing. And eventually a trend is going to go.
Yeah, Nike works like that. They hype a model up. Produce it
for
a year or two, and then
here's the
dunks, right? Like it was not popular for a long time, but it was popular when it first released among skaters, right?
Like early 2000s.
But now the whole look that's trending is the skater look, right? So boxy jeans, a pair of dunks, and
flannel,
maybe, yeah, just a loose hoodie. Okay. Like that's the whole look of it. But dunks were only popular recently, right? Because Nike started hyping it up.
And they didn't
release dunks for like a few years, I think, or like a couple of pairs here and there. But like in the big grand scheme of things, they didn't drop any dunks or any new colorways. But here's my original point that the Jordans, mm-hmm. 1 through, let's say, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a colorway or two of the 14 too, okay?
Yeah.
Excluding twos, of course, for obvious reasons.
Come on.
Jordans have always had a big demand, and I don't see that demand going anywhere, anytime soon, or I don't know if ever. Okay, there's going to be a new trend, but Jordans are the one like signature line of shoes that have always been around and stayed around and held their value. The prices may dip for a while there are like other trends coming in. Like for instance, when Yeezy came in, no one was, I'm guessing most people didn't buy Jordan 1s as much or didn't want Jordan 1s as much. They all wanted 350s and 750s and etc. But the OG colorways of the Jordan 1 will always be hyped.
Yeah, of course.
Especially when you consider, okay, I'm not like saying this because I'm a dick or anything, but like...
But you are though.
Okay, kind of, but like, for example, when Kobe died, his shoes skyrocketed in price. The new models, the Protro line that releases a new version of his past shoes every year. It's basically like the remastered version for Kobe's. Mm-hmm. All of those have some kind of resale value. Mm-hmm. Okay, now imagine. I'm not wishing, I don't want it to happen. Nothing
I
like that.
I know what he's going to say.
So I'm not going to say it, but you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
What if Michael Jordan dot, dot, dot. Okay.
Dabs.
Nope. Let's call it dabs, okay? Whatever you say. But the point is that imagine what the prices of like Chicago 1s will be then. Bred 11s, Bred 4s, Black Cement 3s. Those prices are going to be... You could actually buy a two-room condo in like Midtown, downtown, for a price of like 2015 Chicago 1s.
Really?
Certain of it. Mm. Because think of the prices of the 85 ones at the moment. It's, you wear them once and the sole falls off and people pay tens of thousands for them. Mm-hmm. You can get like steals for very bad condition, like versions, shoes, whatever. But a dead stock pair is going as much as new car out the dealership or like an apartment in like Las Nama or something. Mm-hmm.
But all those are like collector's item and that whole thing has a limit to it because I don't think like many people can afford like $10,000 euros on a pair of shoe just to have it on a shelf.
No, I get it, but
that's
like,
a really like small circle.
I definitely get your point. Like you were saying, yeah, Jordans will forever be a part of the sneaker culture, right?
It will never fall off
the trend in that point. But what I'm trying to say that it will fall off in terms of popularity.
Oh no, yeah, of course. But like the market will always be there. Like always. That market won't ever go away.
But market is also determined by the trends that eventually will switch by time.
Yeah, but those are short waves.
There will be stable amounts of people who are fans of the Jordan line, the fans of sneaker culture, right? And I'm not arguing to say that Jordan's is not. They will always be a part of the sneaker culture. But maybe in the future, the whole sneaker game thing will die. You would never know that.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So
I can agree.
There's just a lot of speculations because let's say the whole sneaker game has been popular only for the past, let's say, 2 decades. Right. But what about before? Why wasn't it a trend, let's say, for the past centuries?
Sneakers had like a criminalish vibe to them.
Yeah.
So even the whole sneaker game is just a current trend. It's just on a longer period. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. You can see it every day, like kids who don't know anything about basketball or Michael Jordan, don't even know who Michael Jordan is, want a pair of Jordans just because they look cool. Mm-hmm. And they see it on Instagram and whatever, TikTok, whatever. But I can agree with that. But what do you think about the dunk trend that's going on? In my opinion, mm-hmm. it's already dying down. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it being lasting more than 3 years. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Just based on the Okay, not just based on the resale prices, but considering resale prices and the amount of new colorways that all look the same, just switching up a few panels and the colors on those panels, like the, what were they, the ones that you have, the
University of Las Vegas, UNLV, no Hennessy,
no.
Raymond,
high ones,
Spectrum,
high ones, the
Spectrum,
no,
Spartan,
no, the Michigan,
not Michigan's,
yeah. Michigan's,
yeah, what's up with them?
I forgot I had those.
Exactly.
Wow. What a flex.
I can like honestly like swear that I've seen at least 5 fucking different versions of that shoe. A low top, a high top, and then just something like in between. Like the colors mixed up and all. Same goes for green pairs.
Same goes for Jordan 1s though.
Facts.
It does, but Jordan, but
with the Dunks, I think it's not making new colorways, but they're relating to the old colorways, like the school packs and whatnot. Yeah, they're all like it's retros, basically.
It's trying to do the same thing as it's been with Jordans or whatever, but I don't see it being a long-term trend.
It won't.
It's already slowing down.
Yeah, I don't think, especially if we compare the culture behind it, right? Because Jordans as a whole holds so much value in terms of history, right? And what does Dunk hold? I mean, maybe I don't really know that much in terms of Dunk's history, but at least the marketing of it has not reached to the mass market people like me, right? So that's an effect.
And also the Dunk hype is mostly around SB Dunks, the collaborations.
Yeah.
The Dunk is mostly like a collaboration shoe where you can go crazy, not like the retros and general releases.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? A controversial opinion, but I think that Dunks are only popular at the moment due to resale.
Of course.
And also their resemblance to Jordan 1, because if you can't get the Jordan 1s, you could get Dunks more easily, I think. I'm going to go back to reselling. If you would start now, or if you had to start again, what would you do differently, perhaps?
What would I do differently?
Or like to say it another way, what would your tips be to a new reseller?
I think that would go back to the point that I made before in this podcast, is really be focused on a certain niche, right? Like just really find a thing that you're good at, because when you say reselling, there's so much to it that you can do. Like there's so many roles, for example, having an IG platform, right? Having the ability to middleman. And also like the conventional reseller, like the ones that you would think in your head, would be a person that goes to a store and buys shoes and sells it for a profit. But it's not always about that. Like you can also be very good at online buying, like using bots, right? And focus on that. You can also be sort of a mix of things, which is what I am right now. So providing a platform and also buying some shoes on the site and selling it. And you could also choose the platforms that you can use to develop, sort of build a reputation. So there's a lot of ways to develop your own direction, but you just really have to analyze what's best in your situation, right? For example, if you have a lot of capital, so you would probably want to buy shoes. But if you don't, then you can think in another direction.
Do you think there's space for another big reseller in Estonia? Considering there's like, let's say like 3 big resellers.
And don't be modest. Be as honest as you can.
Estonia has so less stock that even one person can take the whole stock if he's serious about it, if he works full time on it. So the answer will be no, unless you find a way to buy shoes from abroad. and bring it to Estonia to sell. And that would be an example of a niche, right? Like, right now what people are mostly doing is buying local shoes and selling it abroad. But what if you do the reverse, right?
That's a good point.
That's what you've been doing for a while now too, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you have, yeah. Okay.
How would you describe a good reseller? Are you a good reseller?
In terms of what?
I don't know. Like overall?
Overall.
Like looks, stock, prices, communication skills.
Overall, a good reseller. I think I am an overall a good reseller, but you have to think, like, it really depends on the angle of question. Let's say in terms of morality, right? Like, you can always think that this store has 10 pairs of shoes for the whole country. Would you buy all 10 and sell it for twice the price to local people that could have bought it just by walking to the store? Or would you leave the pairs to other people and buy, let's say, 3 pairs to resell for your own profit and be happy with it, right?
Makes sense.
So where are you with that, with morality?
I am in the middle ground. So I have the ability to buy all the stock, but I think there's a certain limit that you have to put in terms of long-term sustainable, like, development of not only like your personal reselling career, let's say, but also the local culture, right? Because I think if you buy the whole stock, it would also influence you from externally in a bad way.
So yeah, people would hold a grudge and get mad at you.
And that's definitely something you need to consider, right? In terms of resale in local cases, because let's say in the UK where they get like 1,000 pairs for a chain, like, you don't really think of that. But in our case, you should definitely consider
that. Yeah, and there's also like customers and there's stores. And if you're in the middle buying everything,
mm-hmm.
killing both the stores and the customers basically, then yeah, you're gonna be left out quite quick.
Reselling as a general is sort of providing a different selling platform, right? Like, some people don't bother waiting in line for a pair of shoes for 8 hours. Or, you know what? There was a crazy story for Jordan 1 Paris in Ulimista. And
yeah.
Some people waited for a whole night just to get one pair of shoes. And I'd imagine 99% of the general population would not sleep at a shopping mall for a pair of shoes.
In right? front of the shopping mall, outside.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you do it as like an intermediary, like where you provide an extra channel to sell the shoes, then I think it's a good thing, right? But if you just buy it and sort of make the shoe vanish, then probably it's not good for the local cultural development.
Yeah, I agree.
Makes sense. Let's talk about your personal preferences.
Oh shit.
For a second. What's your collection looking like these days? The ones you actually wear and the shoes you wear, the shoes you like, the shoes you want, your grails, your... Mm-hmm. And after you're done giving us that info, what's your top 5 all time?
Oh, that's going to be a hard one.
Yeah, so...
You put me on the spot for this one, you know? But my all-time favorite shoes has got to be Jordan 1s. Like, that's not even a question. Because I fell in love with shoes when I saw a picture. There was a specific picture that I saw that made me really intrigued about shoes. And that was the picture that had the Jordan 1 high breads and a pair of Air Max 1s that has the same colorway. And it just looks so nice, so pleasing to my eye. And I think the most common Jordan model that I have in my collection would be the 1s. Let's say the black toes, the breads, the Royals, the Shadows, and a few others that I'd, well, those are the main ones that I would consider at a high level of my collection. But to be honest, I find them quite difficult to wear because of all the colorfulness, because I usually wear in a different style, right? So the most commonly worn shoes are actually just a pair of New Balances.
990s.
992s.
992s?
Yes. Yes. 992s.
I thought those were 990s. Okay.
Nah. Okay. 992s, gray ones, are the same ones that Steve Jobs wore when he presented the first iPhone.
I've seen the pictures.
And to be honest, I can see why. They're so comfortable. Yeah.
They look good on feet too.
Yeah, exactly. And what else? A pair of Air Force Ones, just as an essential.
White, like, white and white?
No, I don't have a white and white because that's a bit too basic. But
hold up, pause. I'm out.
It is though.
No, 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 no.
It is though.
No, 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 no.
All right, for my taste.
Okay,
for my taste.
But
shout out to all my Air Force One lovers, triple whites. But I'm only saying for my case. So the ones that I have is off-whitish.
So cream.
Yeah, cream, okay. And has a little bit of suede. It's called Platinum Tint. Air Force One Platinum Tint.
I think
Tint.
I have the same ones.
Really? They never released in Estonia, so I think unless you got it somewhere from outside Estonia, you probably have a different model.
Possible.
Yeah.
So considering you don't like Air Forces?
No, no, I like them.
I mean wearing them. You prefer like New Balances?
What I'm saying is Air Force Ones are the current trend, like an overplayed term trend for me at least, right? But I like them as a silhouette in general.
Mm-hmm. Easy to wear,
easy to wear.
Available in every single colorway you can imagine. Yeah, it's affordable.
Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I don't have that much pairs of shoes in my personal collection. I always just wear those specific 2 to 4 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, like all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I have roughly 60 pairs. How much do you have?
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's bad.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm working on it. Let's just say I'm working on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need to realize at one point that you should probably start selling your personal shoes.
Yeah. I keep a lot of stuff on ice.
You think so?
No, like on ice as in dead stock. Like I have a lot of dead stock shoes too.
Mm. That's, you see, like, I cannot afford to do that, so props to you.
I live at home at the moment, and mm-hmm. I try to keep my expenses low so I could, like, you know...
I see.
Maybe break them out in, like, 10 years when, like the Mokas, for instance.
But would you, though, in 10 years?
Yeah, because the feeling that it's a 10-year-old shoe and no one, like, has it.
Oh, so you're only buying shoes because no one's gonna have it?
I'm buying shoes because I love shoes. Shoes are like half of my life, basically my life. I everything I do has shoes around it.
Mm.
And my point of view is that the feeling you get when you wear something that anyone else doesn't have, like not literally anyone else, but like in a sense that you go to your friend's house, you go to the mall, wherever, you won't see the same pair of shoes on somebody else's feet.
Mm-hmm.
You're like unique. You're in that sense. So in 10 years, like the Mokas, for instance, I doubt that I will see anyone else wearing Moka ones 10 years from now in Estonia. I might be completely wrong and they might just re-release them like every single year from today on, but like
even if they get re-released every single year, you'll probably still not see them too often.
Yeah, probably.
Estonia.
Yeah.
but yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it's like okay, top five all time.
Mm. Jordan 1 high bands, top five definitely. Do we talk about the silhouettes or the colorways?
I think you can just base on silhouettes.
Silhouettes.
But a colorway would be good as well.
More specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's difficult to pick colorways, to be honest. Top 5,
Jesus. Well, Jordan 4s for sure. I love Jordan 4s. I have a pair of Jordan 4 Oreos, the black and gray ones.
The ones that were in Sportland.
Yeah, they were. Were they?
Yeah.
What the hell? I missed out.
2015 or 14.
Yeah, I wasn't in the game at the time. But basically, yeah, Jordan 4s, Jordan 1s. I like Jordan 11s a lot. And I hate to say it, but the Yeezys, 350 V2s, they're like they're so popular to a point that they have become like a staple in the sneaker culture. Like nobody's gonna ever forget them.
I get what you're saying.
Right? And one more? One more. Probably it would be the Yeezy 700s. Because I love the silhouette so much. Because when I am in the game, the whole dad sneaker trend is like at its peak, right? And the Yeezy 700s is the sort of the main representation of that trend. So
yeah,
that's what I
love
about
it. I agree. Okay.
It's a solid one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Solid top 5. Okay, but to finish things off, would you like to plug your Instagram to people that might not know who you are?
Since we have such a
large audience, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Thank you for the opportunity. The Instagram that I currently have.
We're going to link our PayPal later on.
So the Instagram that I currently have is @hypebeast.com. Hypebeast Baltics, and I used to have 2 accounts, but the second one is getting deactivated because I'm posting everything on a single account so people don't get confused. And at the moment the only plug that I have is Instagram, but in the future I plan to develop to Facebook as well, so probably you should keep an eye on my personal page as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've been doing that for a while now. Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
Nice.
Go over the middleman service again for people who might not understand what it means exactly.
Yeah. So in terms of story sale middlemaning, basically what I do is provide a platform for people that don't have it. And my specialty is I post on my page that is focused on the local market, right? And what I do is I promote your listing. You just have to send the information, the price, the name, the condition, the location, and I post it. And if someone contacts me that they're interested in buying, I would make a group, like a discussion group on Instagram, connecting you, the buyer, and myself. So I have the opportunity to monitor what's going on. So whenever the transaction is done, whether it by PayPal, bank transfer, or maybe just meet up in person, I go through the whole thing to make sure nobody gets scammed or anything. And so far, I have not got a single complaint. Everything's been good.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
A lot in terms of
work.
For you, like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. All right, like I spend a lot of time on the work as well. So at first I was doing it for free, and I'm still posting for free, but at the moment I'm taking €5 as a fee, and that's if it's
sold.
Yeah, that's only if the item is sold. So I think it's a very solid option for local sellers.
Of course, the cheap one, to be honest.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, your platform and following is quite like, what's the word? Like you have the only the sneaker people following you.
Yeah.
And like €5 for how many followers do you have?
About 5,000.
€5 for 5,000 views isn't that much, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think on things, like how it should go in the future as well. So at the moment, €5 is fine.
Pocket change.
Like definitely, like people would not consider it too expensive.
Yeah, it's right? But so, in the future, a percentage would be more.
Reasonable, I guess. But that's something that I have to work on. Like if I get my page to that stage, let's say 10K, then I would think on that. But at the moment, let's just keep it at that.
Okay. But we, at the start of the recording, we forgot to do our kind of like a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first, what are you wearing today? I'm wearing the Gore-Tex Air Force Ones white pair.
I'm wearing the Hennessy SB Dunks.
And I'm wearing the Jordan 4 white cements.
Ooh. Fire shoe.
Nike Air on the back Nike as Air. Well.
2016 pair?
Exactly.
Okay. And then there's one more thing. A random fact about yourself. You go first. I have to think.
So
it can be completely anything. Random. The first four episodes I've told that I didn't have a license. I still don't have my license. And then since the last episode was canceled, I can say it. Today, I got my license.
Oh, for real?
Ooh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I'm 22 and I still don't have my license. So,
yeah.
That's something to be proud of.
I'm going to be 22 in like a month and I got mine like a week and a half ago.
Yeah,
so,
congrats.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Mm.
It's a marathon, facts. Not a race.
Fun facts about myself. I technically know 5 languages. But a few of them are so bad that I would only say 3. So that would be Chinese, Russian, English. So that's the 3 languages that I would know. Estonian. And at school, we actually studied German.
Okay.
Yeah. My fun fact is that I have an unhealthy habit of ordering Viro Burger. Shout out to them.
Oh, what's your favorite burger?
Animal style at Viro Burger. What's yours?
Probably the Big Mac.
Come on, that's weak. It's like crusty Air Forces.
It's a classic. Ooh. It's a classic. If you don't eat Big Macs, then you don't got the sauce, man.
It's just different games, I think.
Yeah.
It's like comparing like the Off-White Chicago to a mid.
Bruh.
That's
but you know, the sneaker and the burger game are two different games, so
yeah. It's comparable.
I can plug you to an expert.
Fair enough. Okay,
I'm glad you got the reference.
You gotta stop, man.
Yeah, okay, so let's wrap things up. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for hosting me.
No problem. Maybe we could do a follow-up
in the autumn, perhaps.
Yeah. Summer, end of summer, autumn.
Yeah, let's see how things go.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. And thank you for listening and hope to see you again.
Bye.